Hey, so you guys remember what we're on in our series? What have we started talking about? Do you remember? We were talking about grace, yeah, and mercy. And then last week we kind of switched over to a new, kind of a new theme. And grace produces something awesome in us, and we talked about it last week. You remember when Paul wrote that letter to that church in Corinth, and it was kind of a hard letter, and you remember what it produced in them? It's kind of a big word, starts with an R. Repentance, awesome, yeah. And we talked about repentance, and this week we're also going to talk about it. Manny's going to close us out next week. Manny's going to speak, and he's going to close out the series for us next week on repentance. But tonight we're going to look at John chapter 5. Can you guys open there real quick, John chapter 5? If not, it's going to be on the screens. John 5, 1 to 15. And as you do that, remind me, what are some things we learned about repentance last week? Anything? Da-dum-dum-da-da-dum-dum-dum. Anybody? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Did you not learn anything on repentance? If you learned nothing, raise your hand.
No.
Oh, you learned nothing, Caitlin. Oh, you learned something. Okay, what? What did you learn?
I learned that you have to actually change if you're going to, because repentance is like asking for forgiveness, and you have to actually change after.
Yeah, it involves change. Repentance is this thing where you say, I'm actually going to be different because of this grace that's in my life. And then we spilled some water on you, and I almost fell, and I sang that nice little high-pitched song when I almost fell down. You guys remember that? That was fun. But I survived. Yeah, and so repentance, the difference of repentance. You remember when I spilled coffee on Caitlin? What was the two different things that I did? The first time I spilled coffee, and what happened?
You weren't sorry, you just kind of walked away.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I feel bad about it, but I'm still leaving. And the second time I spilled coffee on her, what happened? Yeah, I gave her a napkin. I cleaned it up. I offered to pay for the cleaning bill. There was actually repentance in my heart because it wasn't just words and feeling bad. It was like, there's something different about me, and I'm going to put action to that. And so repentance involves that. And so we're going to see this story in John chapter 5, right away in verse 1. You guys there? Some of you guys don't have Bibles. Anybody need a Bible? There's Bibles back there if you don't have a digital Bible. No? You're good? You just look at the screens? That's okay. All right. Read along with me. Make sure I'm not lying to you. I could read anything up here and you'd think it's true if you're not reading the Word. All right, here we go. John 5, verse 1, it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews. I like feasts. Lots of food. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, that's a cool gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. Stop. What's a colonnade? Anybody know?
Yes.
What?
Column,
yeah, like these big columns and archways and, yeah, around, yeah, all right, so it's this, imagine like, have you ever seen like a picture of the Colosseum? Not anywhere near that big, much smaller, but kind of like that idea, that style, these columns, and it's this beautiful pool, okay, and around it there's these five roofed colonnades, it has roofs over it. In these lay a multitude of invalids, and this is what invalids are, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I'm going in, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. He went out, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. What an awesome story. We've already gone through one of the Gospels, right? And as we walked through some of these Gospels, we saw the stories of Jesus and the awesome miracles that he did. Do you guys remember any of those miracles? What are a few of the things Jesus did? Yeah. Yeah, he spit in a dude's eye with some dirt. He made some mud and rubbed it in his eyes. Yeah, he did that. And he healed him. What else did he do?
He brought back
Yeah, he raised a little girl from the dead. Lazarus, who raised him from the dead. He did a lot of raising from the dead, didn't he? You got more? Bring it on. He made the fish more. Yes, you are right, Kimosabi. That's right. All right. he took these like a couple fish and a little bit of bread and went poof, and made it fed all sorts of people. A number of occasions too, not just once. He did it a couple times. What else? Yeah.
Calmed the storm.
Yeah. This big crazy storm in the middle of the sea, right? They're in the middle of this lake and he's like, poof, be quiet. And it was quiet. Yeah.
Cast out legion.
Not just like one demon, but like a ton of demons. Yeah. Kind of in a way, it was the power of Jesus that did that, but wrong testament. Yeah.
He helped Peter walk on water.
Yeah, he had Peter walking on water, which is awesome. Turn water into wine.
Oh, I forgot it.
You forgot it. Okay, it's all right. Anything else? He's done all sorts of stuff. We could keep going, couldn't we? He did a lot more than just what we mentioned. Jesus did all sorts of awesome stuff. He taught in temples, and all these like really wise rabbis are like, how are you knowing this? You're teaching like we've never heard before. He's doing such incredible things. And here is there's no difference what he's doing here. He's healing a guy in a miraculous way because this dude couldn't walk for 38 years. He's paralyzed. This guy's been laying by this pool, hoping because based on tradition, what would happen is these people would lay by this pool, and when the water was stirred up, if they went into the water, then they would be healed. And so this guy's waiting by this pool, and he's hoping that when the water gets stirred up, he can slip in there and finally be healed and be able to walk again. But he's like, I have no way to drag myself over into the water, Jesus. And then when I do actually like get over there, I have no one to help put me in. And then once I finally get like help, like there's a million people stepping in front of me, pushing me back, and I can't actually get in the water. Over and over, I'm trying. I can't do this. So we see Jesus steps in the scene again to save the day. He loves to do that. And this is no exception. So here's Jesus. And as he's talking to this guy, look what he says. I love it. In verse 6, he says, when Jesus saw him laying there, he knew he had already been there a long time. Have you ever had to wait a long time for something? Maybe like mom and dad were going to pick you up after a game or a practice and like they show up like an hour late and you're like, oh man, feels like an eternity. Or like the very end of the class you have right before lunch. How's that feel, right? And you're waiting for lunch and you're looking at the clock and your stomach's like making all these crazy like lion noises and everybody thinks there's a zoo in your stomach. It's like, or is that just me? Yeah, I get hungry. And you're like, come on, lunchtime. It just feels like an eternity. It stinks to have to wait, but it's worse when you're in pain. What about like when you're sick? Feels like it's just like forever for you to get better. And you're taking medicine and everything else and you just can't seem to like kick your cold or whatever you got. Jesus looks down and this guy has been in pain for 38 years. He's been suffering. He's been paralyzed. We're not really sure if it was just being paralyzed. It says he's an invalid, so he could have been any of those things. But we know he couldn't walk. He couldn't even drag himself in the pool. This guy is in bad shape. And it's been 38 years he's been waiting to be healed. And our Jesus that loves us so much looks down at this guy and he's just moved with compassion. He sees him and he feels for him. And then he asks him this question as he sees him laying there and knows he's been there so long. He says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Let me ask you a question. Let's see if there's some scholars in the room who can answer that. Why do you think Jesus asked him that? That's a great answer. Anybody have any other thoughts on it? I mean, you could probably guess a dude who's laying there by a pool that can heal you, who has been laying there for 38 years and can't walk, is probably going to be like, yeah, I do want to be healed, Jesus, duh. Like, why would you even ask me this question? It's almost like a given. Jesus should have already known he's going to say yes. I wouldn't be laying by this pool for 38 years hoping to get in if I didn't want to be healed, Jesus. Here I am. But Jesus still asks him the question. And so the question itself amazes me because it's like, Jesus, you already would have known that. Why are you asking him, do you want to be healed? That's like if you were starving. Let's say you were out at camp. You didn't eat in a week. They didn't let you eat. And you came back and I had all this pizza sitting on the bar right there in the back. And you guys came in and you're like, oh, we haven't eaten in a whole week. They didn't let us eat. And you're all sitting around. Your stomachs are growling. And I was like, you guys want to eat? Duh. You'd probably like charge me and beat me down and like steal my pizza and run out, right? You'd be so hungry. You'd be like, why are you even asking that, Rob? Duh. Yes. And this, here's this guy. And Jesus is asking him that kind of question. Like, do you want to be healed? It's almost like it should just make sense. I think Jesus was saying something more than he was actually asking something here. He's using that question to say something, to make a statement. We have to want to be healed. Jesus is so willing and ready to heal. And every time, as we just talked about all those miracles he did, when he healed people, if you can kind of think back in your memory, think about what we talked about, think about those stories we kind of heard about Jesus. Do you remember a time where Jesus healed someone without them asking for it? Like even when he raised dead people, he was asked by someone else to come and raise the dead people. And all the sick people that came and were healed went to Jesus to either touch his cloak or beg him to heal them. Can you think of many examples where Jesus just kind of did it? And here he's literally saying it to this man as he's laying there. He walks up. He doesn't just walk up and go, boom, get up, dude. I healed you. He goes up and he's like, before I do this, let me ask you a question we probably both know the answer to. Do you want to be healed? Do you enjoy laying there in your pain? Do you enjoy being paralyzed? Jesus, come on, why would you even ask me? You know the answer. Now apply it to us. As he looks at you and he's like, hey, listen, I see you're down there and you're in all sorts of sin. And your heart's broken and your life is broken. You might not even know it as you're just laying there right now in sin. But before I come and I heal you of your sin and I forgive you and give you salvation, there's a question I need to ask you. Do you want to be healed? Do you want salvation? Do you want me to make a difference in your heart and in your life? Some of you guys, you sat in our service last week and you heard about repentance and you heard that it's good for us and that we need to do it and you still were able to sit there. And maybe you're that person that was sitting there and you just had a hard heart and you're like, I just don't care. And here's Jesus this week going, hey, listen, I can see you sitting there with no repentance in your heart. You're sitting by the pool of repentance and you're so close. But you just don't care. And what Jesus is asking you right now is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to care? Do you want to care about knowing Jesus and having salvation and your sin forgiven? Because he's not going to just come up and tap you and do it. He's going to look at you and ask that question that should be so obvious. Yes, Jesus, I want to go to heaven. Yes, Jesus, I want salvation. Yes, Jesus, I want repentance in my heart so I don't have to live in sin. But sometimes it just doesn't seem so obvious because we don't do it. But look at this guy. Look at his answer here. The sick man answered him and he wasn't like, yes, right now, Jesus, heal me. He didn't say that. Listen to what he says. Verse 7, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. Excuse. When the water stirred up. And while I'm going in, another steps down before me. Another excuse. I don't know about you, but if I've been laying there for 38 years and couldn't move and I was paralyzed and that was true, I couldn't get in the water and didn't have anyone to put me in and people were stepping in front of me, I'd be like, yes, right now, touch me, heal me, right now, Jesus. I'm not waiting one more second. But instead, this guy gave excuses. Why would you do that? Of course I want to be healed. But instead, he's like, yeah, I can't seem to get in the pool, Jesus. Everyone keeps stepping in front of me, pushing me out of the way. And I got no one to help me down in there. Sometimes our hearts can be like that with sin. Yeah, Jesus, I should be like, yeah, heal me, forgive me, give me repentance, but instead I'm going to make excuses why I'm not giving you my heart. I'm going to sit here as Rob's preaching this message about repentance, and I'm not going to actually take that repentance. I'm just going to sit in the back or sit in the front, wherever I'm at. I'm just going to sit here with my friends and chill, and I'm not going to really listen or care, even though you're telling me, do you want to be healed? And I know I need to, but I'm going to make excuses, Jesus, and tell you why I'm not going to be healed today. Instead of saying, yes, forget the excuses. I want to be saved. I want to be healed. Or I'm a believer in you already, Jesus, but I need the sin dealt with that I keep hiding in my heart and nobody knows about, and I keep doing it, and I'm falling into it, and then I pray, and then I just keep going back. I need to be freed from that sin, Jesus. Yes. Is that you? Are you that guy by the well where Jesus is like, do you want to be healed, and you're just making excuses? instead of just jumping to it and saying, yes, heal me right now. So Jesus, look what Jesus does. He just kind of jumps right over it. Verse 8, it says that Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. If you really want to be healed, stop making excuses. What you need to do is take action. Get up. I can't get up. I'm paralyzed. Get up. Jesus, I can't. I'm in sin. I can't do this myself. I can't save myself. Get up. How do I get up? Get up, take your bed, and walk. How can a paralyzed guy get up, take his bed, and walk? So that's me making excuses, right? Did that guy do this? He stopped with the excuses. He tried that the first time. Jesus tells him something absolutely impossible to do for a paralyzed guy to do. Get up and walk? Are you kidding me, Jesus? How is that the solution? But this time he didn't do that. This time he did something called faith. I don't think I can probably get up and walk if I'm paralyzed, but you know what? Jesus told me to, so let's try this thing. Jesus, I don't know if I can beat this sin in my life. It's kicking my butt and I keep falling into it, but you know what? I'm going to try this thing called faith that I see this guy doing here. I'm going to beg you for repentance and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get up and go. I'm going to go talk to my leader and beg my leader to pray with me over this sin in my life. I'm going to go to my leader, Pastor Rob, and talk to him about salvation. I need salvation. But tonight's going to be the night where I take action like this guy. If a paralyzed guy can get up, take his bed, and walk when he's been laying there for 38 years, I think we can get up and follow Jesus in faith and give our sin over to him. He's that big and powerful and strong. And so look what he does. He obeys Jesus' response with faith. Not thinking probably he could even do it. Verse 9, and at once, right away, now he does it, right? No more excuses. At once, immediately, the man was healed. He was healed. You know what that means? The man responded in faith, and the second he believed Jesus, his body was healed. And look what he was able to do. He took up his bed and he walked. He did the impossible. And tell you what, you might be sitting here tonight and you're like, this just seems impossible, Rob. This whole Christian thing, it just seems too hard. It seems like there's all these rules and I'm supposed to look like the Apostle Paul or like these super Christian, like Noah. Like, how am I going to look like these people? What are you expecting? All Jesus is expecting is that you believe. He doesn't have no list of rules for you. He has one thing he's asking. As you lay there in sin, he's going, believe me. Just believe me. Believe that I can do the impossible. And if you believe he can either give you salvation, if that's where you're at tonight, where you never believed in Christ, or you're a believer and you're dealing with some sin tonight and just need to repent of some stuff, either way, he's asking you, believe me tonight. Believe I can take those things from you and heal you. And this guy did, and immediately when he did the impossible. He walked, he took his bed, he did exactly what Jesus had told him to do that seemed impossible, and that can be you too. So at once this man was healed and he got repentance. Now look what happens right after that in verse 9. It says, now that day was a Sabbath. What was Sabbath? Do you guys remember? What was the big deal about Sabbath day? Yeah.
You aren't allowed to work.
You can't work. You can't work. So like, if I did this right here, that was work. I'd be in big trouble by the law. Why? Because I moved this heavy object from here to here. That was enough to be considered work. You couldn't carry things. You couldn't move things around. You couldn't organize chairs. There was this huge list of rules that they were not allowed to do. They couldn't even prepare food. So you know what they would do? They'd have the food already prepared so mom didn't have to cook in the kitchen, because that's work. So it was done the day before so that all they had to do was eat that day. Sounds crazy. That was their rule. That was the Sabbath. They had to rest on that day for a good reason. But now Jesus is here and Jesus is saying, believe on me. That's more important than any of these rules. Well, the Jews are coming and they're saying, you picked up your bed, dude. We saw that. That's work. And today's Sabbath. You don't know what today is? Uh-oh. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. How could you carry that bed? I've been laying on the ground for 38 years, dude. Give me a break. I haven't done any work for 38 years. Yeah, I picked up my bed. Listen to what he says. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. He's like, I didn't just do it because I'm trying to break rules. This dude who has the power to heal lame guys after 38 years, he's the one who told me to do it. Go blame Jesus. He's a powerful guy. Good luck. You know, like, go tell it to the dude over there with all the power. And I ain't telling him. You know, they'd be like, man, I got a beef with you. Okay, that's cool. Just go tell it to the Incredible Hulk, and he'll deal with it. You know, like, boom, puny god. Like, he'd be smashing you. Anyway, so they weren't going to do it. Listen to what they say. Verse 12. They asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now, I want you to notice something here. The guy makes the right choice. He has faith, and he follows Christ. Look at what happens immediately after that. Look who comes along. These guys come along, and they try to drag him right back into the same old stuff. That sound familiar? You're at camp, and you make a really good decision for Christ, and your heart's changed, and the second you go home, and your old friends come back around, they're dragging you right back into the same old stuff. You're at Firehouse, and you come forward, and you make some decisions with Christ, and then you leave here, and the next day at school, your friends are going, hey, let's go back to the same old stuff. Here's the world coming right back to this guy, like right away. He just got healed, and they're already up to him going, hey, listen, forget this Jesus guy. Isn't that funny? Isn't that, remember when we talked about spiritual warfare? Isn't that exactly how Satan is? You just made a good choice to follow Christ, and Satan's going to come along and try to smack that faith right out of you right away. He doesn't wait. And he's going to throw hard times and trials and everything else and people in your life to come and tell you otherwise to get you to turn back on that faith. So expect it. If you're up here and you're praying and you're like, God, I want you to change my life, expect this to happen afterwards and be ready for it. Because Satan hates that you're following Jesus. And he'll throw everything at you. And so that's what happened to this guy. Here's these guys coming up. And look what he says, verse 13. Now the man who had been healed didn't know who it was. Like, he actually didn't know who Jesus was. Because there was this big crowd there. This random guy comes up, Jesus. And he has this conversation real quick and heals him. And look, it says, and then Jesus withdrew. For Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a big crowd in the place. So he honestly didn't know who it was. He couldn't tell them. And the verse 14, afterward, everybody goes off. And there's the dude. He's still there. Jesus found him in the temple, all right? And he said to him, see, you're well. Like, see, all you had to do was believe me. All those excuses you made at first, you know, like, when you finally had faith and believed me, I did the work. I did it for you. When we finally have faith in Christ, he does the work to save us, to give us this repentance we're talking about. And Jesus, I love that Jesus tracked him down, man. He went right after the guy, and he told him, look, You're healed. You're better. Isn't that awesome? The guy's like, wow. And look what he tells him to do. Sin no more. Doesn't that sound a lot like repentance? You had the faith, but don't let it stop at just saying sorry and walking away. Get those napkins out or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Put some action to this. Let it change your whole life. Let this faith change you. And some of y'all might be in that spot where you're like, man, I've had that faith. I got saved, but it hasn't really changed me much. I'm not really living for Christ. I don't care about praying. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I'm not really into this God thing. Is it because I'm too young? No. I could show you people all over the Bible who are much younger than you, and they are all about Christ. It's not like this age thing where you turn 30 and all of a sudden now you love God and you're more mature. Right now, the deal is, we need this repentance thing. We need this thing that says, God, I believe in you and I have faith, but now I want my life to be totally different like this guy. Go and sin no more. Guys, are you dealing with some stuff in your thought life? Are you dealing with the way you treat each other, maybe bullying or pushing each other around? Girls, are you dealing with gossip and the things that you say and the way you treat other girls and being clicky and hanging out and not letting other people hang out with you? Are y'all dealing with sin? Because guess what? We're human. So if you say no, you're lying to my face. Because all of us, myself included, are dealing with sin. If we're in this room tonight, we have sin. And we all need to get to the point where we say, Jesus, take our sin away. Every single day, the Apostle Paul said he had to do it. I mean, y'all are better than Apostle Paul. Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand, because I'm just going to be really mad. We're not. If he had to do it, we got to do it. We're dealing with sin, and so what we need to realize is we need to give it up to Jesus every day and grow in this thing called repentance so we become more and more repentant as we grow in Christ. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect tomorrow. I'm saying you're going to still struggle with sin. But you need to keep giving it to Jesus and having that faith so He can do the impossible in you and give you that repentance. Go and sin no more, He says, that nothing worse may happen to you. You know, look, I healed you, and so your body physically, yeah, that's a good thing, like that you're healed. But if you die, okay, good, that's a physical death, no big deal. This faith that you have, this faith will either save you for eternity, or if you don't have it, you will go to hell. That's an eternal bad day, okay? That's much worse. Have true repentance so that you have salvation. And that's what Jesus is offering you. It's much bigger than just healing your body. It's giving you eternity. It's giving you a relationship with the God of creation who will blow your mind if you actually start to learn who He is. If you start opening the Word, if you start talking to people who know Him and find out more about Him, you're not going to be able to contain your desire to know Him more. You're going to be like, I need to know more about this awesome God. But some of us have never taken that first step to know Him. So we're just like, yeah, who's that random God people keep talking about? It's hard to get excited about someone you don't know. Get to know Him. All right? It says that in verse 15, the man went away and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. You know the coolest part about that is? The dude walked away. He walked away. He didn't drag himself away. He wasn't still laying at that fountain. But he was a beautiful example of faith on both of his feet, walking healthy away from that conversation with Jesus because Jesus healed him. And he was a living example of what Christ can do. That should be you. As Christ has healed you. If you're here tonight, you're like, Rob, I've accepted Jesus. You're a living example of Christ's power. The world gets to look at Evan and say, Evan, you believe in Jesus? And see the difference in Evan. And now Evan is this awesome example of who Christ is and how much God loves us because they can just look at him and see what God has done in him. That's the same for all of us who are here tonight if we believe in Christ. We get to be the ones walking away and the crowd's going, whoa, they're walking. Check it out. Be the example. So my question tonight that Jesus, I think, is asking us as we close is that first question he asked. Do you want to be healed? Because this whole thing has to start there. Do you want it? Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving these kids and these leaders. Thank you for dying for us. And Christ, thank you for being such a good God to us. That you look at us and you ask that question and you actually care to know if we want to be healed or not. And you offer us healing. Lord, I pray that if there are students or leaders or any of us in this room tonight, that God, we have a place in our hearts that need to be given over to you in repentance. We get sin we're dealing with. We don't treat people right. We're not loving. We don't obey our parents. Whatever it might be that's holding us back, God, that you would take those sins and convict us. Heal us. Let us stop making excuses why we can't. And let us follow you in faith and say, heal me. God, I want repentance. Give me repentance of these sins. And Christ, if there's people in this room tonight that don't know you, they've never initially repented for salvation to say, Jesus, I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night that your Holy Spirit grabs their heart and leads them to salvation. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.